CliffCentral.com.
All right, CliffCentral.com. I almost said Thursday. Tuesday morning. It's February's just about at an end. I know this is not surprising to people who actually look at the calendar from time to time, but it is not a leap year, so this is it. Tomorrow's March.
Yay, finally. For whatever reason, February also felt long. I'm glad we're finally in March. Tomorrow will be in April. Next week it'll be May. Like the year.
Oh, God, don't say this.
I got to tell it like it is, Gareth. I got to tell it like it is. No. Just enjoy it.
No.
Buy yourself flowers. Okay.
Yeah, buy yourself. I played the Miley Cyrus song to Lebang during the break.
Yeah, it's nice.
She loves it.
I mean, I like it.
Oh, you don't love it?
It's nice. I don't love it. Like, oh my God. But it's very dope. It's an easy listen. It's got a nice bop to it. I get it. I get the hype. Yes.
It's fantastic. I don't know what your problem is.
Nah, it's good. It's dope.
All right.
It's dope. It's just sad.
They found $300 million of cocaine in an Ecuadorian banana shipment.
Where?
And they put this, I've got to show you this picture that, because they spread it all out on the ground to show how much cocaine that is. You know, I'm in the wrong business because one cocaine shipment like this, you would be sorted. $330 million, they say.
But at what cost? What's the real cost? Like,
what?
Your life? What? I mean, well,
they caught this guy. This guy's an idiot. A banana shipment. But I mean, you could probably do better than this.
I don't know.
I think that, listen, if I could go back, I would have done two things. I would started a religion.
Okay.
A church. At least a church, right? You at least start a church.
Sure.
And B, I'd be selling drugs. If you put me back in my 20s, those are the two things I would do. Mess around with this stupid radio.
Are you actually for real?
Here is a picture. They've spread it out. Now, they've made a bunch of squares out of these blocks of cocaine, right? And each square is the size of two cars. And there are, let me just see, on the screen, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
10, 15, 20, 25. There's, let's see, around 40, 45?
About 40 squares.
Yo, that's a lot of cocaine.
A huge amount of cocaine. And I would say that this is hard to disguise. This is not like you can't hide this up your asshole.
No, that's, I mean, how many assholes would you need?
You need a lot.
And I can smell that from here. Where did they find this, Gareth?
Like, Ecuador.
Damn.
Yeah.
Sure. Maybe we are in the wrong business, eh?
I'm telling you. So they found this stuff. 8.8 tons of it.
Didn't they just find another one in Durban like two weeks ago? What is going on?
They're busting all the coke dealers.
They are. So sorry to,
Ecuador is the world's largest banana exporting country. Did you know that?
I did not.
Smugglers often try to hide their illegal consignments among the bananas, which is shipped from Guayaquil to destinations all over the globe. The latest haul was found inside a container full of banana cases destined for Belgium.
Ooh.
Again.
What's going on?
There's
guys?
Huge demand in Belgium for cocaine. So let them have it. I don't understand why this stuff is illegal.
This is a pandemic.
No, let me tell you something.
I mean, it also like could ruin your life if you have an addictive personality, Gareth.
But if you don't get cocaine, something else will.
Sure, but like cocaine can't be the girl. Like it's too common now. I'll be honest. I'm speaking up finally. I don't like how common cocaine people now, it's like when people, you know, we smoke, we say, scafe, do you have a cigarette? That's how common cocaine is now. Like, hey, do you want to do a line there quickly in the bathroom? But it's too common. Keep that shit away from me. I'm not interested. If you're doing it and you are managing, do your thing. But let's not promote it either. Let's not encourage, because people have addictive personalities.
No one's promoting. This is illegal in Belgium.
You're wondering why it's illegal.
They're still trying to get 8 tons of it in because there's such demand. No, I'm not saying anything about prevention. I'm not saying anything about the law. I know what that is.
Sure.
But despite all of that, there is still a demand for 8 tons of this shit in one shipment. And this is the one they caught.
The one. How many do you think there are?
Well, I just think that if you're going to make these rules, and Belgium's a fairly open-minded country, as far as I know. They're right next door to Holland.
Mm.
There must be lots and lots of people who like to do coke in Belgium. And evidently, you can't do anything about it. So
you don't need to go far, dude. It's happening right on our doorsteps. It's like it's the new in in fashion thing, like all things, nothing news under the sun. But the kids today, and by kids, I mean kids, these are Thundercats. These are 18, 19, 20 year olds are going out every Friday just up here to Rosebank and they're all doing lines in the bathroom. And I think it's shit. That's it.
Give these people the cocaine they want.
The views of the Gareth Cliff Show are not the views of all the hosts.
On give them what they want. I don't understand. No, you think these people, you think they're not going to get it from somewhere else?
They'll obviously get it. They'll it's get just, it. It's that so, the black market exists for that.
So dumb. All these people trying to control things. Just, you know, I'm not going to suddenly become interested in cocaine. I don't know if the bung's going to do it. But if you want it, I say have it.
I say don't have it. There's a reason why you haven't. And chances are, if you have an addictive personality or you're competing or comparing yourself to the people around you that are consuming it, you'll think, oh, this looks easy. Let me just schnoff a line there. And then in 3 years' time, you've lost your whole household.
Sorry. You're still paying. You're still paying for it. And a lot of people who are doing this stuff, they claim that they can function normally.
Operative word. Claim.
Yes, but I mean, for heaven's sake, you know, there are industry people in advertising who've been on Coke since they were 12.
I know.
And
I
they're
know.
Still, I'm not a fan, but I do not like when governments are doing stuff. They're spending a huge amount of time and effort and manpower to stop something that's going to come in anyway. They're going to find a way. Someone says here that Belgium is the cocaine capital of Europe, Ancient Ether says. Also, bananas are a great way to smuggle drugs because they're perishable. They've got to get pushed through customs quickly to avoid the bananas going off.
Sure.
And then Congo Chris is kind of making my point. Portugal's a good model for decriminalization. Instead of spending the money on policing, you spend that money on recovery programs and rehab.
Don't do drugs, kids. The end.
Well, yeah, but I mean, for these people who, do you think that this eight tons of cocaine. You think this is going to people who are not yet already taking? These are people who are already taking. There's a massive demand.
No, there is a demand. But if it doesn't mean that we need to, you know, put our energy in just supplying, because you know what the thing is, Gareth will spend too much time focusing on the people that essentially can't handle this, but think they can.
But Liban,
to your point,
we have the same problem with alcohol and we're not banning that.
I mean, we
and
tried.
If they tried to ban that, we tried
during lockdown.
Do you remember what South Africa did when we told them they couldn't drink?
Look, we're such a special country. Like, we are in the top 10 drinkers of the world, surely. Like, drinking is just, it's like second nature to us as a country. I just, you know, as a
country.
No, we've got a problem. Like, we've got a drinking problem. But look, to each his own, if you're going to schnoff your lines, just don't do it to the point where you end up losing your entire life and you just get too consumed by this one thing. Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Arnold.
Yeah, look.
No, we do. We drink. But I'm saying if Belgium is the capital of cocaine in Europe.
Yeah.
What? Why do they want to stop this from, you know, again, it's these governments with their rules. They're not going to make people better or worse. It's all these utopian nonsense people. And I don't know if you saw, but during COVID, the Belgian health minister was the size of a house.
I remember.
You remember?
I remember. We actually did a show that morning.
And they were telling us, this is the person who's going to look after the people of Belgium's health. Rather, let a cokehead take control of the Belgian health ministry. I'd rather have a crackhead in charge of Belgium's health ministry than that fat woman.
Look, I'll be honest. And there's something that Dylinda's saying in the comments. And Dylinda's saying, have a drug addict in your family, then say something. Dude, this thing is real, bro. For us, we're just watching TV. It's like in the movies when Leonardo DiCaprio's playing that Wolf of Wall Street dude. And it looks like fun because they're just going off and they're always at 100. Until that thing gets closer to you,
yeah,
bro.
But do you think that, like, if you, so, okay, you take away their coke. Their cocaine, they're going to find something else to be addicted to.
So it's not just cocaine. It's like the concept of let them do it anyway, because if we make it illegal, they'll still find a way.
I don't know one person who's ever taken drugs and said, I'm going to stop because it's illegal. Do you?
You're going to stop because why? Please finish that sentence. I'm going to stop because Well, illegal is obviously not the first, but there's so many consequences.
The people who have stopped, and I don't know a lot of people who've been to rehab and stopped or whatever, the people who've stopped have probably stopped because they've got a job or responsibilities or family or someone's trying to save them or they find Jesus or something. They don't stop because it's illegal. No one has ever stopped anything.
We agree on that. We're saying the same thing. But what we're not going to do is say, well, let's just make it legal so that they can just have what they want. Dog, order is there for a reason. Rules are there for a reason. Human beings are chaotic by nature.
We live in a country where no one follows the rules. From the people at the top to the people at the bottom. A friend of mine was telling me the story the other day. He was arrested for speeding a bit fast. Right? Obviously speeding a bit fast. He was driving down like one of these William Nickel or whatever. And there was this huge roadblock and all the cops were there and stopped him. The guy gets into his car or whatever. And they made a plan.
Sure.
Now, I know there are a lot of people who will say, oh my God, then you're part of the problem. It's corruption, blah, blah, blah. This guy, this friend of mine, he didn't want to go to jail. And sit in the police cells for the night or for the whole weekend, as the case may be. And the cop didn't want to exercise his responsibilities here. He wanted to
charge her.
Yeah, and buy something nice for his family or who knows, you know? And to me, would I rather have that than what is going on in Australia? And again, I know people are going to lose their shit over this because there are a bunch of people who still think that we live in a capable state, and we don't. The guy who's in charge of our police in this country wears a stupid hat and talks absolute shit on the news every night. This is the guy in charge of the police, and you want him to execute his responsibilities effectively? That's like expecting the lunatics in the mental asylum to be able to run the place. I am not one of those people who believes anymore in the capable state, because we've been shown that none of the guys in government seem to know what they're doing. And in the bureaucracy, they also don't seem to know what they're doing. I mean, there's probably such a backlog on cases of all kinds of criminal cases in South Africa that I don't think they're even going to lock people up in the next couple of years. It's just going to be whoever's in jail just stays there and whoever's on the outside just bribes their way to stay out. And if you're an evil criminal person, and I really distinguish between someone who's driving fast and doesn't cause an accident and bribes his way out of a fine or out of jail time, and someone who's actively going around murdering people.
Sure.
You know, I don't think that they're the same.
I mean, South Africa, we know our priorities. The list is different. We're busy with the wrong things. That's clear.
It's the wild, wild west, says Sean. And
Banana
he's right.
Republic. No, it is. Yeah. There's a lot going on. But look, Gareth, we've said this before. We're not going to pack up and go. We know that we've got problems. Let's rather focus on finding solutions. And again, we know who the people
sometimes
are not going to fix. We know the government's
solution,
not going to do shit.
The solution sometimes is Chocho.
The views of the Gareth Cliff Show are
again,
only the views of...
Yeah, what have we endorsed this morning? Legalizing drugs and not obeying any laws. It's great. I mean, this is coming from somebody who studied law.
Yeah, right? Look at that. Look,
embarrassment.
To each his own. To each his own. No. But it is what it is.
All right. Listen, we want to take one or two more calls.
Yes.
We haven't done that this hour. We did that in the first hour. The number is on the screen if you're on the YouTubes, 0832955769. 0832955769. We want to take some phone calls. We're testing out this new thing and we're enjoying ourselves. We're enjoying taking the live calls.
It's nice. It brings a different layer to the show. I mean, the comment section is obviously like the Beyonce. Like that's where it's popping.
I don't think so.
What?
No, I'm over the, that's why I wanted to do phone calls. The comment section.
There's room for the phone calls, but the comment section for me, when I'm watching and listening to the show and I'm not on the show, I love it there. Like there's many conversations happening. Everyone's doing their own thing. It's nice. Like, you know, there's many things here. Then you can phone. Now you can join in and comment and be part of the cult. Sometimes you can be on the show. It's nice. Giving everybody an opportunity.
So a couple of comments here on Dear Linda, she says, one thing I believe we humans are incapable of is being completely free. We need laws.
Agreed.
Sure. To quote
agreed.
Every lawyer ever, says Slippery Pickle, you can do whatever you want, just don't get caught. Is that what lawyers say?
I don't know. You studied law, Gareth. You tell us.
I don't know that lawyers say don't get caught there. I don't know.
Kind of sounds like an episode of what's that law show with Mo Harvey?
Cunning Stunt says, you do what you have to do here. That's exactly right.
Sure.
You do what you have to do here.
Sure.
All right, let's take a call. Let's see what's going on over here in the phone calls. Hey, good morning.
Hello.
Yo, morning. What's up?
Good morning, guys. It's Yonder and Dickie here speaking.
Who?
Yonder.
Hey, Yonder.
Oh, Yonder. Hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you want?
Oh, good.
Gareth says, what do you want?
I actually wanted to ask Gareth when it comes to my town in Cape Town, the Mavericks, he was just supposed to let me know so I can make sure we all go to the party we're invited to.
Dude, Yonder's talking about that conversation that I had, which I posted on Instagram with Mavericks, because they, you know, I talked about how great they are when the State of the Nation address happens.
Yeah. Sure.
And they've got all the strippers out on the balcony as the president drives past with the army, which I still believe is proof positive that we live in a free country. And the marketing guys from Mavericks said they're hosting some kind of party there.
Oh, nice.
So I'm like, oh, well, I have to go. So I'm waiting for the invitation, Yonder. As soon as I get it, I'll let you know.
Yeah, let us know. Because I was actually there the Wednesday before actually Sauna speech. So we
nice.
Were all blockaded. But and I left like in the morning before the whole road was closed up.
Oh, nice. So you spent the day before the Sauna with all the strippers.
Yeah, all the strippers, yeah. At least there, I was like, it's a free world there, because it's not just only South Africa, it's all over.
Sure.
It's actually one of the best places to be, where you actually can meet the whole world in one place.
Hectic.
I didn't all go right. that far. I didn't go that far, but it's really a great show, and I'm really glad to be able to call in.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it way better? Yeah. Isn't it just so much better to be like talking rather than in the comments? Mm. I mean, you have to type. Some people are driving. I mean, you can call in while you're driving, for heaven's sake.
Correct. Yeah. That's actually brilliant for me, as I said. Sometimes, a lot of collectors are actually not enough for me. So I usually want to have a few questions, or at least, especially when you're saying something that maybe I don't agree with.
Well, now you can actually call in directly.
You can call in whenever you want.
Because whether I'm in the studio or I'm doing it from home, we can do this.
That's very brilliant. Yeah. Really appreciate it, guys.
No, this is
and
good.
Then enjoy the rest of the Tuesday.
All right. Thanks, Yonder. All right. And then just for Lebang this morning, someone says, smash those like buttons, because otherwise we're going to have to mention air fryers.
And you guys don't want that, do you? I mean, I've got recipes ready. I'm ready to tell you guys what's happening in the world of air fryers.
I might even have it in the car.
Ooh, boy.
I bet you don't have ingredients.
I can find them. Did you not hear what I did? I sent an email to the staff saying I want 100 rand bucks from everybody.
100 rand bucks.
100 rand bucks. That's how excited I am. I can't even speak. I want everyone to give me money. If somebody has sent me money, I'm going to buy a full chicken right now. And we'll do like a lekker lunch vibe. Oh.
You like this, huh? This air fryer is your favorite thing in the whole world.
Dude, it's like the world is just sleeping on it. Like, save yourselves.
Twitter has just fired another 200 employees.
Hey, bro.
Now, I think this just proves how many people there were useless in the first place. They clearly don't need them.
That's 200 families, Gareth.
Oh, please.
It is.
You know what America's unemployment rate is? 3%. Do you know what ours is?
Forget about us.
Oh. I think they can afford it, Lebang. Plus, these were never people who were really doing anything useful.
Okay.
So if you were running this company and it was your company and you were watching the bottom line, why would you keep an extra 200 people around who are doing nothing useful?
Obviously you wouldn't. I'm just saying that there's consequences. They must go, but then what will they eat, comrade?
So the latest round of job losses at Twitter means they've sacked about 50% of their employees overall. As staff learned of their fate, Mr. Musk tweeted, "Hope you have a good Sunday, first day of the rest of your life." That's cold.
That's a shitty boss.
That is so cold.
That guy sucks.
I think it's, it's funny. Esther Crawford, who's the chief executive of Twitter Payments and who oversaw the Twitter Blue verification subscription model, said she was deeply proud of her team in a tweet after being among those who was released. So she's also, she's been fired.
Yo, that is so cold.
Senior product manager Martijn de Kuyper, who founded the newsletter tool Review, which Twitter acquired in 2021, said he found out he'd lost his job after being locked out of his work emails.
Why don't you just tell people, look, you've got a month's notice. Look, it's a wrap or whatever.
No, you don't. In America, they just fire you.
They just fire you.
Yeah,
like,
they don't waste any time.
Hey, welcome to the office. So please, can you just pack up because it's over for you?
You've seen the movies.
Yeah.
What
it's exactly
do,
like that.
They give you your box. They've emptied the shit out of your desk for you. They hand you your box and you leave. You don't even come in.
Damn.
And then you have to stand because in America, especially in the big cities, a lot of people don't bother to drive their own cars or they don't have cars.
Sure.
So they have to get public transport. So they stand outside the office with a cardboard box with all their shit, their family photographs.
It's like the walk of shame. Everybody knows what's happening. Like everyone's like whispering in the corridors when you're holding that box. You're walking out.
It's so usual over there. It's not even a big deal. And then you have to, if you've got a lot of stuff or you've moved to a certain town for that job.
Yeah.
You have to call up the U-Haul company and then they bring a big truck or trailer.
Take all your stuff.
They load all your shit and send you back home. Wherever home is.
Wherever that is. Yeah, look, South Africa's fine here. It's all right. We'll make it through it, guys. We're okay. All right.
So Twitter is just, I mean, they are cutting down to the bones. And it's not just them. Amazon, Microsoft, Google, they've announced tens of thousands of layoffs between them. But the cuts across the industry are wide reaching. The end of January, more than 10,000 jobs were lost in 8 days across six large tech companies, including Spotify, Intel and IBM.
Damn.
Yeah, but I mean, these people were obviously not doing anything useful.
Yeah. I mean, where do you stand, right? Like, sure, these people are being useless, blah, blah, blah. But again, Gareth, you're now out of work.
Fire them. Get rid of them. They clearly are not useful.
Yeah.
Look, time to get rid of these people.
Shame. Sorry, guys. I know all 200 of you are listening. Sorry that you got fired, bro.
No, I don't feel sorry for them. Listen, companies are not there to just employ people for no good reason. If you're not bringing in the money, if you're not doing something that's useful, get out. Out.
I know a couple of people in South Africa who just got retrenched like last week at very big advertising agencies. It's very bad, Gareth. It's bad.
No, it's horrible for them.
Mm. And these are people that actually work their asses off, hey? I'm not just talking about these Twitter bots. Like, these
but
are
then
actual
you,
humans.
You know what it's like in the advertising business? You lose a client. Those jobs have to go.
Sure. It's literally like that. Oh, cutthroat. So cutthroat. Oh, man, it's sad.
If you give them notice, says Parallel Parking, they will sabotage. Here in South Africa, you give them jobs and they sabotage.
That's all right.
Hot Nut says, I can't believe Yonder's a guy. You see, again, this is why we got to do phone calls.
Yeah.
Because then you can hear people.
Sure. And I want to see if people be as confident as they are with their fingers. You know, it's so easy to sit there. You guys, hey, call us. Mm. Keep that same energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you can call us now. So at least you know.
Yeah.
The lines are there. They're open. We're not going to take calls all the time, but I mean, it's there. If you want to give us a shout.
Mm.
All right. So we got something interesting in a little while because I don't know if you have been paying attention to the banking sector in this country. There are all these new players. We've spoken about Capitec before.
Sure.
We've spoken about digital banking. One of them is Time Bank, which is new.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to speak to someone called Linda, who is the chief marketing officer there. And the reason I want to have her in is to talk about how digital banking has evolved.
Sure.
And to talk about how different it is now to the way that it was 10 years ago.
Sure.
How they get clients, how they keep clients, how the whole world of banking has changed.
Yeah. Like one thing I know is that South Africa is like among some of the best banking systems globally. I was chatting to Greg recently and he was saying that they're just still using checks because he just moved. That's why I say Israel. They are still using checks.
In America, they still use checks.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's like, it feels so archaic to us, right? But there it's like, it's a staple. So the fact that Time Bank has taken it a step further and really like got into this digital field and are, I guess, milking this, you know, this thing. It'll be dope to check it out to hear more about it.
All right. So a few things here quickly. I got an email from Steve who had the following to say. So I think this is quite interesting because I always like it when people catch me out in a hypocrisy. Hey, Gareth, I listened to your discussion this morning. That was Thursday, and I found some inconsistencies in your thinking, re-censorship.
Hmm.
Earlier this week, you were mentioning that it is stupid that they're changing some of the language in Roald Dahl's book. from fat to enormous and stuff like that. To be fair, I 100% agree. This is fucking dumb. So that's Steve. Steve and I are on the same page here.
Sure.
Then he says, this morning, you were then saying that Tanzania, who are banning and taking out pages to fit their culture, is good as they don't subscribe to wokeness. While I am of the opinion, as well as I'm sure 99% of your audience is, that wokeness is cancer, you cannot have double standards from your thinking that Roald Dahl's changes are bad and that the Diary of a Wimpy Kid's changes are good. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that I'm missing something, so I'd like it if you could clarify the difference. Well, Steve, you've just proven that I didn't, you know, obviously when we do this show, it is, and I'm not making an excuse here, because we obviously cover a lot of ground in 2 hours every morning.
Uh-huh.
But yes, there are huge logical inconsistencies in that. Now I have to choose which one I think is actually the right one. And I would say probably I would err on the side of free expression. So I would err on the side of do not ban books.
Sure.
Even if it's to protect your culture or, you know, you've got a very conservative political situation or whatever it might be. We've got to err on the side of the book being able to be published and being able to be read.
Yes.
I'm nervous about kids just being exposed to anything, because I do think that while free expression applies to adults, if you're a child, you shouldn't be, you know, exposed to like radical, ridiculous shit, bad ideas, porn. That stuff shouldn't be put in kids' faces.
Sure.
So I think that there is a difference there, but by no means am I trying to defend my inconsistency. You have done very well, Steve, to point out that I am also a hypocrite, just like everyone else
on
Earth.
And a human being.
Yes. So I own it, and mea culpa, and I'm sorry. And yes, I've had to review. But the show is like a first draft of everything.
Sure. It's like original thoughts right off the top of the dome. You know, we don't really have a lot of time to sit and like find the right one or the wrong one. There's only the one that you feel and you know, right?
So it's live.
Yeah, it's live.
We don't have time to.
You know what else is live?
Think everything through.
The phone calls.
Are we doing more
call
of those?
Call us. Ah, let's do a couple of more, man.
All right. 0832955769. Let's get you exercising on this front.
Yes. I like how Steve in the comments is defending himself, saying, that's not me, by the way. So the Steve that sent the email is not the same Steve from the comments.
Oh, right. Okay. This guy defending himself.
That's not
in the
me.
Comments.
That's not me. I didn't say anything. That's not me. There has to be a difference, Steve. I agree with everything Kanae says.
Kanae says, is Derrida forced to open a case? It looks like Auntkel Mabula is Balula is demanding it. Okay. So yes, I think he has to, because otherwise he's going to find himself in the crosshairs, right? Because if he almost has to now say, this is the person I'm talking about. That's the only protection he can create for himself now.
Sure.
And as we said at the beginning of the show, he has to do it. I mean, I would be fully in favor of him doing it.
He has to do something to back those statements up. You know what? You can't just all willy nilly point fingers and then say, yeah, well, I've just pointed by, you know, now it's going to be like, well, take a step further.
Otherwise you are exactly what Fikile is calling you, which is just your muckraker. You're throwing around all kinds of allegations and it makes you sound like a bitter and twisted person who's been pushed out of your job because you didn't know what you were doing.
Give us evidence.
Whereas
Papa?
if you can actually say these are the people, name names, give us evidence, then you're in the clear.
Exactly.
Then Fikile looks like an idiot.
Also, Auntkel. So shame. We're saying aunt and uncle.
No, but you know why? Because he wears those horrible glasses, those granny glasses.
Oh, okay.
Horn-rimmed. He does sometimes look a bit transgender. Let's be fair.
Twin plug energy. That's cool. Do you?
Yeah. No, sure.
I saw he was wearing a shirt that cost like 6,000 grand. 6,000 the other day. 16,000, I mean.
What?
And everybody was, there was a shirt that cost 16,000 rand that Fikile was wearing. And everyone was like, oh my God, you see why I can't stand it here? You're wearing a shirt for 16,000 rands. But the da-da, but the bada, but the da-da. Yep. And like people did research.
16,000 rand.
Dog.
On a shirt.
Dog.
What was it made of? Cloth of gold?
And it actually looks terrible. It didn't look that
well. He's got no fashion sense. Did you see when he wore that thing with the train tracks on it?
Oh, man. Get him a stylist.
Exactly.
Get that man a stylist, bro.
Somebody needs to tidy up his wardrobe. But
love him, though.
this is kind of, you know, at least he's got some character. Again, I'm not going to defend Fekir. There are lots of people who are saying rude things about him, and you can carry on doing that. And I certainly don't. I'm not his biggest supporter. We've had our run-ins in the past, you know this. But at least he's got some character. Show me the last interesting thing Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma did or said.
She's
about as boring as they come. Up Naledi Pandor, Lindiwe Sisulu, what's the guy Bongo, who was our Minister of Intelligence for a while? I don't know where he is now.
Yeah, remember him? Yeah, I think like they just get more and more quiet because they just generally like boring people.
I'd rather have train tracks.
On a t-shirt?
No. Play We Get Your Phone Calls Every Day. I got to find those old jingles. They're somewhere. We had a whole file of them at some point because people would send in their own versions.
Yeah.
So I got to find those.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, we used to have a song for it.
Where are those files even? Where are you going to start?
I'm going to have to look for it.
Yeah.
I have to look for it. All right. One quick news story that I also want to throw in here. This is quite interesting.
Okay.
Jay Something has opened up another restaurant, but his own one now.
I like that. That's very cool. Like, I mean, he just started out as like a foodie. He would do these nice food things. Now he's actually like, he has his own joint. Definitely should support
him. It is called Artistry. Opens up its doors to the public. Full for lunch and dinner in the first week. They booked up.
Sure. Where is it? It has to be somewhere, Lani. I know.
I think it's in Cape Town.
Is it?
I don't know. I'm looking here. Let me just see. You know what the best thing about Artistry? Just tell us where it is.
Just tell us where it is, bro, so we can come. But Cape Town, isn't he Joburg based?
Oh, he partnered with Black Brick, a hotel and apartment network, to conceptualize Artistry, which has been decided. Don't give me the press release.
Jay Something, we know you're listening to the show. Where Artistry. Is your restaurant?
Okay, here it says, guests start at the rooftop restaurant, head to the middle level for live music and theater performances, finally to the street level lounge for an unforgettable after party. What, every time? Again, press release. Who is this? Who are these lazy people? Eyewitness News. You should be embarrassed that you just printed exactly what they sent to you instead of telling us where this place is.
hilarious.
It's in Johannesburg. It's Artistry in Johannesburg. There we go. You see, I had to dig like an investigative journalist to try and find out where this place was.
That's not a good look, guys. That is not a good look. So wait, after you eat, you go downstairs and it's a party.
Well, that's what it says in the press release.
All the time. That's a lot of work. I mean, can you guys entertain me every day?
You know what? I like Jay Simming.
He's great.
He's a good guy. He just seems to, he has a lot of positive energy around him. He's a creative talent.
Yeah.
He's a musician. He's a chef.
He's a father, a husband.
Good for him.
Like he's doing the things, man. I'm here for that. I will definitely support him. It's actually down the road. It's in Sandown. We should pop in.
All right.
Yeah, let's roll.
Find out exactly where. You know me.
Yeah. No, give us the exact location. I think it'll be dope.
This is what I don't understand. You print something like this in the news, but you don't tell us the address.
Dude. You know what it is these days. They just literally take the press release and they copy and paste it. There's no more original thinking.
Disgraceful.
There's no more like.
Some intern probably did that.
A junior.
Yeah, some intern filled that in. Hey, good morning.
Hello there.
What's
happening?
Nothing's happening. I just want to say I love your show.
Thank you.
You know that. And you want to pretend that you don't have a heart?
What?
I think you pretend. You don't have a heart, and you do.
Ooh. Wait, firstly, who is this? Who are we speaking to?
Mom, will you stop calling in? No, who is this?
It's Jolinda.
All right.
Oh,
okay.
Jolinda, I agree with you. Gareth is dope.
You have a deep voice.
I know he's dope, and I know that he pretends, but he does have a big heart.
He's
That's
such a nice
guy. That's what I want to say, and I love you so.
All right. All right.
All right.
All right, dear Linda.
Ciao.
Cheers, dear Linda. Ciao. Look at you being exposed.
Bye. Yeah.
The true Gareth revealed.
Whatever. Everybody's in my head except me.
We see right through you, dude. We see you trying to be this hard ass. You're a nice guy. Just roll with it.
You see, Tiger DC in the comments knows what's going on. 22 Fredman Drive. That's where we need to go if we want to go there.
For Artistry. Okay, we'll go.
All right.
Lunch on Gareth.
No. You've already said 100 Rand bri. No, no, hold on. You said 100 rand braai, and then you told us that you're going to do air fry some chicken.
Yes.
You already, you are at best, you can come in 3 meals from now.
Fine.
There's
fine.
Nothing else that's going to happen.
Okay,
to you
fine.
Then.
Lunch on gas.
Space Brother Production says, Musi Maimane is trying to remain relevant by laying charges, yet he wrecked the whole election.
Musi.
Oh, this guy. You know, really, I mean, I've had my say about Musi Maimane, but I'm just so over him.
He was also a model, hey? Lest we forget, before he got into politics, he was on a cover of a couple of magazines.
He was like Vladimir Zelensky.
Exactly.
That's the whole thing.
Exactly.
These people. And then Pete Buttigieg in America is the same thing.
Uh-huh.
The transport secretary. Did you hear what he did? Pitches up at... this place called East Palestine in Ohio where they had that massive train accident.
Oh, yeah?
Pitches up 20 days later.
Oh, no.
And then can't even get his photo shoot right.
Oh, no.
And all he's there for is the photo.
It's the photo shoot.
He's,
yeah.
One of the, he's a performer.
Sure.
That's the whole point with him.
Sure. It's all about the PR.
Anyway, I mean, look, if you expect more from politicians, you're going to be disappointed. That's sure. All I'm going to say. Yonder says, I was about to say that there are places called that name. Cliff Central, we should start our own restaurant. No. No, 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 no. I don't believe if you're not a certain kind of, like, if you make food, then don't try to, you know, do some
other
engineering.
But
don't build hospitals if you are a gardener.
Gareth, how many people do you know in this day and age that only do one thing?
No,
we live in a time where we can do multiple things.
But
Cliff Central Foods coming to a store near you.
Nah.
We'll be selling all sorts of things from air fryers to,
You know what? You pursue this dream of yours.
Tequila.
No one wants to.
I'm pursuing my dream.
It's
like there's this rule that if you want to live comfortably, you need like at least 4 different streams of income.
And what if you're blah, 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 blah. What if you're bad at 3 of them?
You can learn. Just put in 10,000 hours and keep it moving.
No.
We mustn't just do one thing.
It irritates me that McDonald's does chicken.
Oh.
Like, just do what you do. And
which is what?
Don't do fish if you're a meat restaurant.
Give it all to us. Give us options. We are human beings. We don't know what we want.
No.
I want a list of a million things so I can decide.
All right. I want to talk about digital banking because it's something that South Africa's banking sector is pretty smart.
Yeah.
We have some very innovative thinkers here. We've got some new banks that are on the scene.
Yeah.
And a lot of people talking about them.
Yeah.
And people are looking for a good deal. Obviously, banking has changed. I mean, when last did you go to the bank?
Exactly. When I'm told to walk in, that for me is a deal breaker. If I still physically need to enter, then I just don't want to go. I'm like, well, this is archaic.
I can honestly tell you, I don't even know where my bank branch is.
Exactly.
I haven't seen, if my bank branch was right in front of me while I was spending on my credit card, I wouldn't even know.
Exactly. Let me do everything in here in this little,
I do it all on my
little
phone.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah.
I've got someone who I can call.
Mm.
At the bank, but for all I know, they could be down the road or they could be in
a
India.
Different country.
Yeah.
Do you have a private banker?
Oh,
you're rich, huh?
Wow.
Yeah. He didn't say
I
no.
don't know if I'm rich. No, I think I owe them more money than, so they have to keep an eye on me. That's
I see.
All right. But I want to speak to Linda Appy, who is the chief marketing officer at Time Bank, because they only started a little while ago.
Sure.
You know, they haven't been here like the banks who've been here for 100,000 years.
Yeah.
Keep doing the same old thing.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be fun to have her in here, ask her about Time Bank and see what's going on there. So Linda, first of all, welcome. It's nice to see you.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. What a pleasure. So tell us a little bit about Time Bank, because I've heard a lot about you guys, but I really don't know enough. And I feel like you're the best person to tell us because you're the marketing person. So what's Time Bank and how is it different?
Yeah. So Time Bank is a digital-only bank.
Mm-hmm.
We actually launched on the 24th of February in 2019. So last week, Friday, we were actually celebrating our 4-year anniversary.
Oh,
congrats.
Yeah. Thank
nice.
You.
That's
very good.
Yeah.
You got in there just before COVID.
Yeah. No, we did.
Right.
So we launched in February of that year. By November of that year, we had hit 1 million customers.
Hmm.
So I guess your next question is really, how did we do that?
Yeah, how did you get to 1 million customers in such a short time?
Yeah, it really goes back to the bank's value proposition and how it's structured and also the business model. So basically, in terms of being digital only, we've got kiosks that are in the grocery environment. So the thinking was, let's give you know, people banking at a lower cost.
Sure.
But let's also be disruptive about it and make sure that they can bank where they shop, right? So our partners are Boxer and Pick and Pay at that time. Hmm. And we had almost 600 kiosks in the supermarkets. And basically the kiosk is the magic.
Sure.
Because basically what you do, you go up to the kiosk, you scan your fingerprint, and by doing that, you are going through a process called KYC, which is Know Your Customer, that is linked to the Home Affairs harness system. So there, you know, Gareth is scanning his fingerprint, his details are coming through. It's asking you.
I don't need to fill in 10,000 forms.
Zero. No documents. All right,
but so we have a couple of things in this country that make it really interesting from a banking point of view. Mm-hmm. There's still an enormous number of people who are not banked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? There's still thousands and thousands and thousands of people who keep the money
under the mattress. You know. You know.
Because they don't trust the bank, first of all. And second of all, they don't see the benefit of not having cash.
Mm.
They don't see the reason to have to use these other means and ways of doing things. Mm. A lot of people still paid in cash. Mm. A lot of people prefer that way of doing things. So we've got to eventually get these people in the banking system.
Sure.
Or do we? I mean, you know, Linda, this is something obviously you guys have thought about quite a lot.
Mm, no, we do. We definitely do.
Yeah.
In fact, when we go back to the story of how the bank was founded, so our two founders, Koen Jonker, as well as Jart van der Walt, the purpose.
Those guys
the,
sound like they should be farming millies.
Like I just automatically saw that. You know, Koen, the Afrikaans setup.
Koen and Jart.
Even the accent switched up a bit.
Koen, wat maak je hier nou weer? I'm going to go and throw some millies.
I'll actually tell them that they are so cool and so laid back, those two guys.
So they don't look like what they sound like.
No, okay. very cool.
Two-tone shirts?
No, not two-tone shirts.
Nothing?
Nothing. Koen comes into the office.
Are you
sometimes
sure?
Sometimes he's wearing All-Stars jeans and a jacket.
Promise me they don't come in like Buddha clothes.
No, not at all.
Are you sure?
Very, very, very sure.
Here's their music.
This is the soundtrack when they walk in the office.
Shame. Linda came here to tell us about the bank and now we're ripping on her bosses.
And they're probably such nice people, man. Yeah, but it'd be like that. It'd be
right,
like
so, that. So why did they come up with this idea for Time Bank?
Okay, so...
They must be smarter than us, Leba.
Yeah.
So Koen spent a lot of his time in... Well, he started off as a lawyer and then moved into banking, but mainly community banking. And he was... within Deloitte, right?
Okay.
And between smart the guy. Two of them, they'd already started a business. They were partners. And they'd been, you know, working or meeting at a time in South Africa where there was a lot of political upheaval. So they were involved in that as well.
Mm.
But for them, they were very passionate about driving financial inclusion. And they believed that there was a different way to do it, in terms of making sure that these very people that are not banked and people who are banked but are underserved, right?
Sure, right, sure.
How do we get them into the banking system? And again, when we go back into the tech, you know, in terms of that kiosk being linked to the harness or home affairs system, it takes out the need for documentation. It simplifies the process. Also, our bank's actually in the cloud. So by banking in the cloud, you eliminate the need for physical infrastructure, right?
You don't need the branches and things.
Exactly. And then you're also bringing down the cost of banking. Sure. So then,
yeah, because they also don't need thousands of staff, right?
Exactly.
And I mean, a lot of this is automated and it's digital and it can happen pretty much from anywhere.
Mm. Yeah. So basically after 5 minutes and you've done your Eureka, so to speak, or your Fika on the kiosk, you literally have a Visa debit card that you can use.
They should give it to you then?
Exactly.
Straight away?
Straight away.
Sure.
Straight away.
Sure.
Within 5 minutes.
All right. So we spoke about how South Africans aren't really a very, you know, banked nation. Like, you know, most countries in the sort of northern sphere, you got like 80, 90% of people who are banked. Here, what is the percentage?
It's not as bad as in the rest of Africa.
Okay.
It is getting better. And I think it's because of what's happening within the banking system. So having a disruptive player like TymeBank, I think has actually been good for the banking system overall.
Absolutely. And, sure. And you guys are probably only, when the guys decided to start this business, they looked at the market and thought there are all these people that we could service.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And obviously we want to do it in a way that's cheap, that makes sense, but also where we can reach them,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense. If you're going to go to the shop, you can just do it there and then.
Exactly.
Right?
It's almost like it sounds really, really convenient on paper.
All right.
But Linda, who exactly would you say is the bulk? Because when I think digital, I'm thinking the youth, I'm thinking, you know, Gen Z, people that generally just are on their phones all the time only, that don't believe in the more archaic branch style. But then when I hear kiosk at Mopox, I'm not thinking Gen Z so much anymore. So do you guys have like everybody, or is there like a nice sweet spot of like a balance?
Okay. So this is the other great thing about being able to join the bank. So yes, most of our customers, we do recruit via the kiosk. So in terms of the mix, it is mostly low to mid LSM customers, right?
Sure.
And then also we do recruit customers via the web. So just go to www.timebank.co.za. You can open an account in that way. To verify your identity there, you'll use facial recognition. Right?
Okay.
And all you need to then do.
You guys are smart. I mean, hey. The fingerprinting, facial recognition. Hey.
And then the last way is really by downloading the app from the three app stores.
Mm.
And really, if you talk Gen Z, millennials, that type of thing.
Yeah.
We're mostly getting them via the web and the app.
Sure.
And those are the guys that we do want in terms of first, adopters.
Yes.
Because those adopters. Guys then come home and
they show their parents, Nabokoko. Exactly.
Right.
Yes. Exactly.
And a lot of people in this country also have more than one bank account, right?
True.
And I'm not talking about just the people who have tons of bad debt, because there's a lot of that going on as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of people have three credit cards and they're all maxed out. And, I mean, that's just, you know, there's a world of pain coming.
Sure.
But a lot of people have different accounts. Their salary gets paid into one.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have another one for the stock
the side
fail,
hustles.
And they have another one for the small business that they're running. There's one that the kids have access to, or the husband, or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
So people like to manage their money in different ways.
Yeah.
And it might make a lot of sense for people to want to do that digitally rather than, because even, you know, this is a funny thing people do. I remember when we started doing podcasts and people were like, oh, but what are people without smartphones? People in this country are so resourceful. We have more phones than we do people.
Yeah.
And they know how to use this. And if there's anything, if you want to really like patronize somebody, assume they don't know how to manage their money.
Exactly.
Because I'll tell you what, I've met people who work for a weekly wage. They know exactly what they owed.
Yeah.
They know exactly where that money's going.
Yeah.
They know exactly how to budget for it.
Yeah.
And I know people who are earning huge salaries in massively important positions in companies. They don't know how to manage a damn thing.
Exactly.
So you can't assume anything. Is that right,
Linda?
It's
your money, mate.
Yeah, no, definitely. You can't assume anything. So you're right. People are multi-banked. And what we've noticed with TymeBank specifically is that a lot of the time we are a secondary bank. So people are using us as the bank, the second bank where, you know, they're putting in the stock file monies, like you said.
Mm.
But also, because our charges are low, and by low, I mean that there are months where you can actually pay R0 for your banking fees.
Right. You see, this is what I was going to ask you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's how Capitec got ahead.
Exactly.
Is that they just reduced the transaction fees and the charges and the monthly stuff. And then people were like, well, why am I paying these other ones?
Exactly.
And you're saying there's some months where people won't even pay.
Yeah. And it's really about how you bank, right? So we charge 0 monthly fees. So number one, there isn't a standard monthly fee for the account.
Wow.
But yes, we do have some transactional fees, right? But even then, a lot of our fees are free. So if you do more of your banking on the app, you can actually get to a month where you pay 0 banking fees.
Damn.
The other attractive thing about us is our Goal Save savings pocket. And there you can earn an interest rate of up to 10%. So guys, this Goal Save interest rate was 8%.
Yeah.
We increased it in Jan in an environment where the repo rate's going up. But we are saying, look, we feel your pain. We'll increase our savings rate.
Mm.
And really to get to that's where then You would then have to have your regular income. So that's either your salary, your grant, your pension, whatever it is,
yeah,
paid into your time bank account. So it starts at a 4%. It moves to 5, 6, then 7. Then you get to the 10%. And that's really, really, popular. So what's interesting, Gareth, you guys were talking earlier about, you know, who the bulk of our customers are. So yes, they're middle income, but we see ourselves attracting also sophisticated customers who feel actually that, you know, paying for private banking and all these other things is unnecessary.
Exactly.
And then some of them actually want to save with us because with GoalSave, it's an immediate access account, right? So you can get your money anytime you want. It's not where, you know, it's a fixed deposit, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And when you want to take out your money, we can, you know, give you an extra percent if you save it for another 10 days. It's really up to you.
There are a lot of comments. There are a lot of comments here. So GigaShack says, their banking fees are amazing and saving schemes work great, like GoalSave that you were just talking about now.
Mm.
But a lot of people are asking who owns it, because you spoke about the founders, but who are the major shareholders in the bank? Because people like to know this. And, you know, otherwise there's a conspiracy theory about everything.
Sure.
And especially in the comments section over here, it's always a conspiracy theory. So what do you say?
No. This is a great question. So yes, we had the two founders. And in fact, we started off as a company called Money Transfer, which was a service for MTN. And then the business at that time was bought out by CBA or the Commonwealth Bank of Australia. And then over time, we bought it back. And then that's when ARC came in, so African Rainbow Capital.
Oh, so that's Patrice.
Exactly. Patrice Motsepe. Yes. So in the initial deal, I think he had about 10%. Then over time, then, you know, he had a major stake in the bank. Mm-hmm. So he is still our majority shareholder. We do have other shareholders because we're a startup. What we do have to do is, we can't rely on one shareholder. We have to, go out and do investment rounds and things like that. So we've bought in the likes of Apis, the likes of Tencent. So we actually have had, over the last 2 years, about 2 investment rounds. I think that have been good, for South Africa as an economy, because we've brought in quite a bit of money, and that allows us to expand the bank, right?
Sure.
And it allows us to penetrate and get to more customers. We can invest in the bank. So I see also questions like, you know, have we extended our footprint, which we have?
Yeah.
So we've just got it into a partnership with the Foschini Group, one of the largest retailers in South Africa.
Okay.
And right now, guys, you can actually go and open an account at a Markham's, you know, at a Jet, at an Exact.
Sure.
Because we've added an additional 600 kiosks there.
Yeah.
And then that allows us then to be able to get into.
And these kiosks obviously are cheaper than opening up branches, but it's also expensive to add like 600 kiosks to shops like this.
Mm. Mm. It is expensive. But of course,
that's why you need the investment money.
Exactly. So, but I mean, you know, it's a joint partnership.
How are you making money if you're not charging fees?
Mm-hmm.
If most of it is digital and you're building all these kiosks, like how does the bank, is banking still so lucrative that you could still make money?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. It banking. Is lucrative, but I think like all businesses, it takes time.
Mm.
And I know recently there was a debate around the fact that we don't make a profit. Yes, that is true. We haven't broken even, after 4 years. And guys, it's not just us. If you speak to the other digital businesses, they will tell you how long it takes to break even.
It's a long game.
Gareth,
Just suddenly wakes up one day and they've got all the money.
But our target though is to break even this year. So when we break even, then we start getting into the money because it's a mix, right? It's a mix of transactions, but it's also a mix of volume, but also the types of lifestyle products that you can provide to customers. So we've got things like the credit card, more time. And other products that I can talk about.
JP in the comments says, is the maximum for a cumulative goal save 200,000?
It's 100,000.
Okay. All right. So these are things that people can, this is doable.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I'm genuinely interested here. This is an interesting one. Mongezi says, I heard a rumor. You got to be careful about these rumors. Hey. The time bank allows you to withdraw your salary weeks before your actual payday. That's a lie, right? I mean, there's no money in the account. How can you draw money?
What are you withdrawing air?
Yeah. Where do you think that's coming from, Mongezi? Mongezi obviously works for a major auditing firm.
Sure.
Yeah. So Mongezi does have his story right, but the timing is not correct though. So we do have a product called Early Pay, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Early Pay allows us, if you have your regular income put into your time bank account, it allows us to give you your salary the day before.
So on the 24th.
Yeah. An advance.
Yeah. Sorry. Mm. Okay. Yeah. So there's Early Pay. Yes. So you get your salary the day before.
Sure.
Then, like I said, Mongezi, just in terms of the story. So that's the first part. The second part is we've got a product called Time Advance.
Okay.
So what Time Advance is, where you can actually access your earned salary. And I think that's important.
Sure.
You can access a part of your earned salary before payday. So there's two things I want to clarify. Early Pay is automatic. It's free. You don't have to sign up for it. The only thing you need to do is to have your regular income paid into your time bank account. Time Advance actually requires you to approach your HR department. And then also we as Time Bank, you know, work with your company to make the specific arrangements. And then for the advance, we charge about 30 rand.
That's pretty clever. I mean, I don't know of any other banks that are really thinking fast on that level. I mean, living in South Africa is a sport. Linda, you mentioned how you guys are growing. I'm curious about your guys' plans to actually branch out into other African countries, because like we said, a lot of Africans in general, not banking as much, undocumented, just going through the motions. How are you guys planning on making sure that you capture that market? Because we've got Next. The whole globe wants a slice of Africa now. So where are you guys at with that?
Good point.
Yeah. So, I mean, our strategy has always been to be a multi-country bank. And what we look at in terms of, the opportunities, we look at population size, friction in the market, digital adoption, and also, just a few other, variables. And at this point in time, I mean, it doesn't mean that we'll never go into Africa, but just suffice to say that we've already taken this very same business model exactly the way it is, and we've taken it to the Philippines, and we've launched a bank there called GoTime, and that's doing really, really well.
Okay.
So guys, I mean, imagine, a South African story like this, where we were able to take something that was built in South Africa into another country. And when we engage with our global counterparts, the Time Bank story is amazing, even for developed countries like the US and the UK, because those banking systems are so, they're so structured, which then makes it harder, for them to be able to bring innovative things like this. So I think as South Africans, we should be proud of the types of innovations that we can bring to the market.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, it's very nice to have you here. And thanks for coming in, because these are all things that I think a lot of us are thinking about. So it's good to get some answers. And all I can say is well done. 5 million customers. Not a bad place to start.
Yeah.
And we'll keep watching your story with interest.
Thank you, Garrett.
Nice to see
it's
you.
6.4 million.
Counting. Hey.
Apologies.
Sorry, that's 1.5 million people that you've just left out there.
That's like me leaving out one of your children when we.
How dare you?
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you, Linda. Linda is the CMO of Time Bank, and you can find out more from them. Obviously, look them up on the internet. They're all over the place too. Digital only.
Yeah.
And that brings us to an end of this morning's show. We will see you tomorrow.
Bye. Bright and early.
6 o'clock. Cheers. CliffCentral.com.